All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to remain anonymous. You are listening to Filthy Armenian Adventures. Vegas never runs out of characters. And its characters never run out of stories. And the stories are almost always true. At least as true as Ace and a Face card makes 21. Interesting term, face card. I was invited to stage a Vegas story last Friday, March 8. Isaac Simpson of the Will Agency called me up and said, there would be a conference called Replatform, and they wanted to throw a party to celebrate anonymous dissident culture. They wanted it to be a masquerade, and they wanted it to feature various online personalities. And Isaac, who has been on this show, episode 57, Daylight Savings at the Suicide Bridge, Isaac kindly invited me to orchestrate and MC the performance element of the party with as much of my vibe as I could muster. I hesitated. I didn't know what kind of crowd this first-time conference would draw or why, after a long day of presentations on COVID and freedom, they'd care about anything other than getting drunk and dodging jabs. I also am not anonymous. I am not enamored of anonymity. I am suspicious of being too self-styled a dissident. A permanent rogue, I believe, is probably just a rogue. While it made sense to do an Anon masquerade, I didn't quite see a window in that concept for my own exuberance or style or scheming. So I hesitated, and then I said, hit me. Because I can't say no to Las Vegas. I've never been able to say no to Las Vegas. When I arrived in Las Vegas on a Friday night 30 years ago, it was love at first sight. Love at first light. Love at first buffalo wing, love at first ding, ding, ding. If somebody suggests a trip to Vegas, no matter how crazy or far-fetched, I'm saying yes every time. And if somebody says I can preside on the 26th floor ballroom of the Horseshoe Hotel and Casino from the center of the strip, right between Flamingo and Paris, opposite Bellagio and Caesars, with windows overlooking north and south, I am going to say yes, even if it's the lesbian bingo convention. I'm just going to say, hit me. So gratefully to Isaac for thinking of me, follow him at Disgraced Propagandist on X, I said, hit me. And just as I said, hit me, like the dealer sliding open a 7 when you're sitting there with 14, I realized there actually was a connection between dissidents and Las Vegas. And there actually was a connection between masks and Las Vegas. So I proposed to craft the party as a story about Las Vegas. I said, we'll do it in the form of toasts. There were a lot of speakers between headliners Curtis Yarvin, Delicious Tacos, and Astral Flight Simulation, and the sponsors from El Segundo and Bitcoin Magazine, and my own friends I added to the mix. So I asked them all to just pick a Vegas figure, icon, star, hero, and deliver a brief toast. And I asked everyone at the party to pick a Vegas figure, icon, star, hero, write the name down on a slip, and put it in a box, so that we would shake that box up, mix it up with the toasts, add a little magic from my old friend, and see if a new story would emerge about Las Vegas. One that, if you hate Las Vegas, would make you love Las Vegas. A story that, if you love Las Vegas, would help you realize why it is you really love Las Vegas. Hey everyone, it's your host Alec Mohibian with a quick note before we begin. Filthy Armenian Adventures is an interdimensional travel program that takes you deep into the cultural mysteries of our strange and interesting times. In search of truth, in search of gold, in search of lost friends and unsung heroes, in search of John Galt's motor. The show is supported entirely by patrons at patreon.com/filthyarmenian. Patrons get access to twice as many adventures, including the most intimate and scandalous ones, plus regular 5 to 15 minute smoke break mini episodes on movies, shows, and topics of the urgent moment. Patrons also get first dibs on our next live event. The first two were a smash. It's very easy to keep Filthy Armenian Adventures alive. You can still listen to the premium feed on Apple or Spotify or your favorite app, and you can do so with the pride that you're putting a little bit of money where your soul is. More patrons means more landmarks, more hotspots, more secret locations and forbidden territories around the world, and the world that is Los Angeles, our apocalyptic headquarters. It means we'll be able to track down more enchanting figures in the landscape and dare them to abandon their masks. Patreon.com/filthyarmenian. Gracias for listening, and enjoy the show.
Parallel ladies and replatformed gentlemen, your silence is hereby mandated. Your silence is hereby mandated. Please quietly receive the drinks you're trying to receive. Bring your attention here. Bring your full glasses here. At the end of the show, you will be rewarded with tacos. But for now, you're about to be injected with a little bit of Viva Las Vegas. You may not recognize me, but I'm pretty sure you know me by now. I am Dr. Fauci. I haven't been this excited for a ball since that weekend in San Francisco, 1982. A weekend my gorgeous colleagues and I once referred to as Operation Warp Speed. I'm just jabbing you, I'm not Dr. Fauci. This masquerade has nothing to do with those masks. No beige face blurring NPC muzzles here. This isn't the Korean Uber Eats drivers in LA convention, this is the Astral Ball. And it's inspired by a very different kind of mask. Guys, a really good point to make. The mask I wear is the mask of the filthy Armenian. Kind of like Cher, or Andre Agassi, or Tark the Shark, or the man who built this building we're standing in today, way before it was a horseshoe, way before it was even Bally's. But when it opened in 1973 as the original MGM Grand. Same man who built the current MGM Grand, largest hotel in the world when it opened. Same man who built the Las Vegas International, the first largest Vegas hotel in the world in 1968, which opened with the second coming of Elvis after Barbra Streisand bombed the first 2 weeks. Same man who built the city center with Cosmo and Aria. So let's begin this evening's ritual with a landmark acknowledgement to Mr. Kirk Kerkorian. Make some noise if... Make some noise if you love Las Vegas. Make some noise if you're like, I don't like gambling and I'm gay. Well, you're here now, bitch. And something brought you here. Something brought you here, and one way or the other, it's the same thing that has always brought people here. And tonight on the stage, we are going to count some cards. We are going to load some dice and try to divine what that something, that Las Vegas something is. I ask you to pick a Vegas icon or hero or star and write it down and put it in that box over there. I hope you've done so. If you haven't, quietly do so soon. I ask certain people in this room, certain forbidden thinkers and artists, to also pick a Vegas icon, hero, or star, and write a little toast for them. Could be anyone. Dealer's choice. All I did was remind them, in a somewhat grandiose manner, as is my wont, that whether you love or hate Las Vegas, it is a place created entirely out of thin air by outcasts, outlaws, deplorables, and dissidents, much like some people in this room are said to be. Whether you love or whether you hate Las Vegas, it is a parallel paradise created by freedom-loving forbidden freaks, and it is a living monument to their eventual triumph over Ouchie Fauci's America. Or maybe a dying monument. It's never quite certain out here in the desert. Who were these people who made Las Vegas, and how did they do it? How did they convert this no man's land, no gal's virtue, hellscape into the very middle of the American somewhere? Believe it or not, it had nothing to do with gambling. Or to put it another way, it had everything to do with gambling. It had everything to do with gambling. There's no Vegas without gamblers. The first people who settled here long before any casino were big time gamblers, only they didn't call themselves gamblers. They called themselves Mormons. Mormons are not allowed to gamble, I presume, because it would profane their very existence as one of the world's great world historical gamblers. Never daunted by the odds. Never afraid to take on the house. Not even the one in Washington with all those fat cats talking about how many wives is the right number of wives. Let's face the fort they built on the north end of this boulevard, where you can still visit, by the way. And let's give a toast to the Mormons for their pioneering wager on this land in 1855. The Mormons. When the Latter-day Saints go marching in. All right, well, the Mormons crapped out pretty fast and they left. And Vegas was quiet for a great deal of time. Until the Great Depression. Until the Great Depression incited a very different kind of gamble over here. A scheme to beat the house, the big house, the biggest house of them all. A scheme to flip man's odds against the desert. Half an hour from here, you can visit the jackpot. A concrete poem that no New Yorker critic can deny. The goddamn thing which makes life possible from Phoenix to Beverly Hills to this very room where it fills the glass in your hand with ice cubes, which I ask you to raise now to toast the 99 men who died building the Boulder Hoover Dam. That Dan gamble irrigated all kinds of dreams. But it was a gangster's dream that began to create the Las Vegas we know today. Before that gangster pulled over a few meters from here, a few years before a great war was decided, Vegas remained a tiny outpost with a few thousand people. It had casinos, but they were stuck in the past. Gambling was legal, divorce was easy, the laws were loose, but the only fantasy on offer was the old-timey fantasy of a Wild West we used to know. With cowboy manners, a dusty frontier veneer, and no air conditioning. But it was 120 degrees when a certain love-struck gangster stepped out of his car, and the vision of a much grander, shinier, wilder West entered his soon-to-be-famous blue eye.
With Curtis Yarvin, Delicious Tacos, Astral Flight, Simulation, Vera, Monica, and so much more. Please subscribe to the show at patreon.com/filthyarmenian. You'll get twice as many full-length episodes as well as over a dozen smoke break mini episodes each month. And I post those almost every other day. They become very popular. Reviews and daily experiences, brief slices of life that don't deserve full episodes but are nevertheless urgent. Lots of the Oscar nominated movies I've reviewed there, including the horrendous Zone of Interest. Anyway, you'll be interested in that if you subscribe. Those are only for subscribers. Patreon.com/filthyarmenian, and you'll get the rest of this episode and so many more in our catalog at Filthy Armenian Adventures. Thank you for listening, and do spread the word if you like this.